I want to take a moment of your time and call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again we approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving. Thank you for your precious son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Messiah. Thank you for sending him to this world to be born as a babe, to die upon the cross, to rise from the grave, and today seated at your right hand. Because he lives, we know that we too shall live. Father, guide our hearts and our thoughts tonight. To you be all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the text that we read, we see that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire world should be registered. And you understand what this registering was about. Of course, it was to be taxed, right? That's why you register. And so Mary and Joseph was required to travel from their home in Galilee to Bethlehem. Now, in that day, there was no internet so that you could register online. There was, of course, no car so that you could just buzz over to the Capitol and sign a paper. They were required to leave Galilee, ride on whatever animal, maybe a donkey. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, you know, this was the most inopportune time to be having a baby. And I thought, somewhere along the way, Mary and Joseph too, for that matter, traveling with his expectant wife, had to think, I don't have time for this. We looked at after they arrived there in Bethlehem, not only did they not have time for this, but they didn't have room for this. Because the decree was that all the world should be taxed or registered. And so it wasn't just Mary and Joseph traveling. Everyone else in the world was traveling, or in their world at that time. And everyone that it was of the lineage of David had to go back to the city of Bethlehem. And so, of course, that city was absolutely filled. There's no place for Mary and Joseph to stay. And, of course, of all times, while she was there, the Bible says that she had the child. And there was no room for him in the inn. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, there was no time for this baby. There was no room for this baby. This baby Jesus. And I thought, what a shame. Let me ask you tonight, what do you do when you don't have time for something? When you don't have room for something? There's a phrase that we use, well, we make time. Or we make room. Have you ever been at a restaurant, or I've been in a restaurant, and and come up on church members and they say, "Brother Doug, you and Beth, come join us." And they say, "No, your table's full." "Oh, we'll make room." So they get a table and they pull it over and gather chairs and pull it over and say, "Come eat with us." There's been times that I've asked different individuals, do you have time for me to visit with you for 5 or 10 minutes? And their response is, "Well, I'll make time." And I thought about the celebration of Christmas. In the celebration, I thought, man, it's such a busy time of the year, and especially this year, how occupied our minds, our lives are with everything that's going on besides Christmas. That I can see people thinking, "I don't have time for this. I don't have room for this." And I want to suggest to you, make room for Jesus this week. Okay? Make time. Make room. You look at the response of the shepherds. You know those guys were keeping sheep, right? They had things to do. But when they heard the announcement that the Christ child had been born, what did they do? They said, "We've got to go see. We've got to take the time. We'll leave our sheep and we'll go see this child." They make time. The wise men, it says, traveled from afar. I don't know how long they had been on the road. I don't know how far they've traveled. But we know it wasn't close by. They had to take time out of their busy schedule so that they could honor this Christ child with gifts. The point is that people at the birth of Jesus, they made room, they made time for Jesus. And that's very simply, I have one point to what I'm sharing with you tonight. Ahead of us is a very busy week. Some of you have, I'm sure, as we always do, have Christmas plans. Kids coming in, relatives coming over. That's wonderful. But what I want to challenge you to do is let's not quit celebrating our Savior tonight when we walk out of here. I want to challenge you that every day of the week, the rest of this week, you celebrate this Christ child who came to pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. Take the time, make the room for Jesus. Read the Christmas story to your children, your grandchildren. Take time for devotion and prayer with your family. Make the time to ensure that everyone around you knows what a wonderful Savior Jesus Christ is. Because isn't that what we're about? Isn't that why we celebrate? We celebrate to remember. May we never forget that God came in the flesh to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. Christmas is a very happy time of year. Because it's the time of year that we have hope. That we know, that we understand that for the child of God, there is a future. And the reason there is a future is because of Jesus. Take my challenge. Make sure that Jesus is built into every day for the rest of this week. Because He's too important not to make room for. Today, you may be here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you that I have good news. That good news is that Jesus Christ came to give His life upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest gift that Beth sang about a while ago, the greatest gift that was ever given, was this Christ child, the Son of God, so that you could have eternal life. How do you have that? Very simply by asking. Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? If not, this invitation is for you. We want you to be saved. We want you to know the joy of Christmas. I'll be honest with you. I understand why the world doesn't get Christmas. It's because they don't get the Savior. You want to enjoy Christmas and appreciate and know the true value of Christmas. It starts with Jesus. Otherwise, it's just another holiday. But you see, for the child of God, Christmas is special. Do you know Him? If not, I want to invite you to come. If you do know Him, please accept my challenge that not a day goes by this week that you do not celebrate this Christ child, our Savior, God in the flesh, and coming King. Jesus is coming again. You know that, right? We have a lot to celebrate. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these specials that were offered in praise of you tonight. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Father, that whoever calls on you will be saved. And now we just come, not only to celebrate here today, but to celebrate the rest of our lives. This Christ child, the Prince of Peace. And we pray for His return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.